Can we read first in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7? Luke 7 and verse 36. But one of the Pharisees begged him that he would eat with him. That's the Lord Jesus. And entering into the house of the Pharisee, he took his place at table. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, and knew that he was sitting at meat in the house of the Pharisee, having taken an alabaster box of myrrh, and standing at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears. And she wiped him with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the myrrh. And the Pharisee who had invited him, seeing it, spoke with himself, saying, this person, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what the woman is who touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he says, teacher, say it. There were two debtors of a certain creditor. One owed 500 denarii and the other owed 50. But as they had nothing to pay, he forgave both of them their debt. Say, which of them therefore will love him most? And Simon answering said, I suppose he to whom he forgave the most. And he said to him, thou hast rightly judged. And just the last verse, 50, he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. And in Colossians chapter 2, epistle to the Colossians chapter 2, the end of verse 13. Having forgiven us all the offences, having effaced the handwriting in ordinances which stood out against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it also out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The nations of the world are drowning in debt. Every country, every developed country and most of the undeveloped countries are in over their head in debt, and the debt is rising daily. The debt in this country is in the region of 2.7 trillion, if you could even take that in. But what that means is that for every single person that lives in Britain, it's nearly £39,000. That's everybody here tonight is owed £39,000 if ever that debt was to be paid off. Now that brings it home, the size of it. But it's going up daily. It's going up by the minute. And we know that the financial world is going to collapse, because the Bible tells us that. We're not here to talk about the world's economic woes. We're here tonight to talk about a debt that's far more serious than that. And that is the debt that you and I have as sinners to a righteous and holy God. Now that is a debt that is also rising by the day. It's a debt that we can do nothing about. We can't repay it. We can't pay the interest on it. We can only add to it. And we are adding to it. Every time we say no to our parents, we're adding to that debt. The debt's going up. But that's not the end of the story. Because in the glad tidings, there's a way in which that debt can be cleared completely. Because God knows that you can't afford to pay it. You don't even have the right currency to begin to pay it. And that is the message in Luke 7, that there was no way that those who were indebted could pay it. It doesn't matter whether you're a big sinner or a little sinner. You can't do one thing to remove any of these sins. And even if you decided from this day forward to be absolutely good and not do anything wrong again, what about the past? What about what happened before? God keeps books, you know. He writes things down. What about the sins of yesterday and the day before and the ones before that? It says in Ecclesiastes that God bringeth back again that which is lost. God keeps books. And books will be opened, you know, at the final judgment. Books will be opened. And the things that the people have done, which are written down, will be there to condemn them. But there's no need that anyone in the world tonight should ever be found at that judgment. Because we have a Saviour to present to you in the glad tidings. A Saviour that took on my debt at Calvary's cross and is prepared to take on yours tonight if you'll but trust Him as your Saviour. If you'll but come to accept what you are as a sinner before a holy and righteous God and claim Christ and the blood of Christ as your only means of salvation. It's that simple. Is it too simple? It's too simple for some people. They think they have to do something to merit God's salvation. You can't merit. You've nothing to recommend yourself to God. Nothing. People make up what they're going to say when they get to the gates. The blood of Christ is the only access to heaven. The only access. Those who are cleared from their debt and their sin will be the ones who have access to heaven. And so this Pharisee, he begged the Lord to come into his house. I don't know what he was hoping for, but anyway, what a thing it was to have the Lord in your house, actually. And this woman, she comes in as well. This was a woman of the city. She was actually a prostitute. That's what she was, well known. But she needed Jesus. And it doesn't matter what your past history is. As I've said, whether you're a big sinner or a small sinner, you need Jesus. And this woman knew that she needed Jesus. And that's why she came in to this Pharisee's house. What an obstacle she overcame by coming in to the Pharisee's house and doing this thing for Jesus. And you know, he spoke to himself, the Pharisee. He spoke to himself. You know, the Pharisee in Luke 18, he prayed to himself. Imagine praying to yourself, thanking God that he was not as the rest of men. He was a good man. He'd done this and that and the other. And not even as this man that stood alongside him, the publican. And you know, he gets cut off in mid-prayer. He's cut off. His prayer never got above the ceiling. You've nothing to recommend yourself to God. You are cast entirely on the mercy of God because you're a sinner. You've come short of the glory of God. But tonight you can meet a God who wants to save you, who wants to bless you, and has gone to extraordinary lengths to provide a Savior for you. That's why I just want you to listen to what God is saying in the glad tidings tonight. The Lord said to Simon, I've got something to say to you. And you know, God has got something to say to you tonight in the glad tidings. As you sit in your seat, he's telling you that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. And he's telling you that he's placed a Savior within your reach where you are in your seat. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that the heart of God? Yeah. The publican that stood next to that Pharisee, he never even lifted his eyes to heaven. All he said was, God, have compassion on me, the sinner. That was it. He owned his sinnership to a holy God. And what does the Lord say? He went down to his house justified. What does that mean? He went down to his house saved. His history, his past, his sins, his debt, all met in the blood of Christ. Isn't wonderful? That can be your hope. That can be your joy tonight if you accept Christ as your Savior. So Simon the Pharisee, he probably thought if he was a debtor at all, he would just have been the 50 pence debtor. And this woman, she was a very large debtor. But you know, they both needed Christ. they both needed Christ. And what a beautiful passage this is, because when they had nothing to pay, you know that God knows every detail of your life. He knows that you can do nothing about your sins. That's why he sent Jesus. Nothing less could God accept in payment of that fearful debt. A righteous and holy and God required that the blood of a sinless victim would be shed to meet the lost condition of you and I. And the only person that could take that on was my Saviour at Calvary's cross. So Jesus came to fulfill the will of God in respect of the sins that you and I had committed and to take them on. You know, if you had a debt to a company that had two or three partners and you met one of these partners in the street, you couldn't ask that partner to write off that debt and just forget about it. Just sweep it under the carpet. What about the other two partners? The responsibility towards them? No, the only way that debt could be met was if that partner paid it himself. Then you could be clear. And that's what Jesus did. He paid your debt at Calvary's cross. He paid it. When he said, "It is finished," after the judgment of God fell upon him, he said, "It is finished." Now, that's a Greek word, a single Greek word that was written on invoices when they were paid. And it means paid in full. That's what it means. My debt was settled at Calvary's cross. The debt of every person who trusts in the Lord Jesus, who accepts him as their Saviour, who comes under the shelter of that precious blood, their debt was settled at Calvary's cross, never to be raised again. That is what Jesus has done. That is the message of the glad tidings, that fearful debt that you and I have reared up can be met tonight through trusting the Lord Jesus as a personal Saviour. Isn't that wonderful? He gave up his life, you know. He came, lived a life like no other life. The life of Jesus is a study for our affections. It was a life like no other life, you know, and you couldn't live that life because you're sinful. Like the woman, I've said it often, who was dying and she wasn't saved, and her daughter was saved, and she implored the priest to come along and speak to her mother, and he didn't know what, he came along, but he didn't know how to comfort her. But he remembered what his mother had told him about the saving, about the life of Jesus and how perfect it was. And she said, "That's no use to me. That's no use to me. I've not lived that kind of life." And he remembered about the work of Jesus and what it had effected for her sins. And she claimed Christ as her Saviour, came into the blessing of salvation. You know what the minister said? Not only did she get saved that night, but I got saved as well. Such is the power of divine grace which follows us in our lives, brings us in here tonight to hear the gospel. That's divine grace. It's a marvellous power. It's out. God's power at the moment is being exercised in grace because he wants to save persons. God's power is about to be exercised in judgment. But today, the judgment, though it has been passed, and you're under God's judgment as a sinner, but it's exercised in grace that you might be saved. That's the heart of God out in the glad tidings tonight. And so Paul just gives two. Before I finish, he says to the woman, after he spoke to Simon, and we don't know whether Simon was affected or not, but he says to the woman, go in peace. Go in peace. Thy faith has saved thee. You know, wonderful that that woman had faith in Christ, and she went away from that transaction with the Saviour in peace. Have you got peace in your heart tonight? Have you got peace about the past? Have you got peace about everything that you've done, knowing that it was covered by the finished work of Jesus? Paul just gives two excellent metaphors in Colossians 2 as to how this has been accomplished. And you know, the first one is having effaced the handwriting, an ordinance that stood out against us. You know, in that time, if a person had a list of debts, they were all written down on a parchment. But it wasn't permanent. It could be rubbed out. It was written on the parchment and the person signed it, owned up to the debt, and then the debt was pinned up on a post so that persons could see that so-and-so had this debt. And you know, what's happened? What happened at the cross is that that handwriting that we have had to sign up to and admit to has been effaced by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? That what stood out against us, what was written down by God, all these sins that we committed that have been recorded in heaven, are cleared away by the blood of Christ and your acceptance of it. So God is able to righteously efface them, blot them out. Your name then in the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, it can never be blotted out. Never. If you've ever been saved, you're saved for eternity. That's the effectiveness of the finished work of Christ. But then he says, he's taken it also out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. How affecting that is. You know, the crimes of what persons had done was put up above their head in the, when they were crucified, so that you knew why they were being crucified. You know what they put up on the Lord's cross? This is the King of the Jews. But you know, my sins were there as well. My sins were nailed to the cross of my Saviour. And he bore them, the penalty for my sins, in his own body on the tree. That's what my Saviour has done for me. That's what he can do for you if you'll accept him tonight as your Saviour. Every one of your sins were future to Christ when he died on Calvary's cross and shed his precious blood. He did it for you, my friend. He did it to save you. Have you accepted him as your personal Saviour and come into this blessing and go from this room tonight in the full knowledge that every debt's been paid, that every claim against you has been met by Christ, and that you're fit for glory if he comes tonight? Well, are you fit for glory? If the Lord Jesus comes for those who love him tonight, where will you stand? How will you stand in the swelling of the Jordan, it says in the prophet? Time of trouble comes in, you know. People think in a land of security they're in safety. But you know, judgment is coming. Where will you stand tonight if you're called to meet God? Because every one of us will meet God. Every one of us. Tonight we can meet a Saviour God. Isn't that wonderful? A Saviour God who desires your blessing. If you refuse to meet the Saviour God tonight, then you'll meet a judge in a soon coming day. Well, that's all I've got to say. I commend my Saviour to you. He's a wonderful person, Jesus. You know, the older you get, the more you long to see him, to see his face, and to think how wonderful it must have been for these disciples who accompanied the Lord in these 3.5 years in his life here and saw the things that he did. But Peter commends those who have never seen Jesus and yet love him. We love Jesus because of what he's done for us. We love him for who he is. Are you among the lovers of Jesus? May you be so tonight. May you accept him as your Saviour and realise that the debt was paid in full at Calvary's cross for his name's sake.